This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:07, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. Our guest this week, Montgomery County Board Chairman Roy Hurdle. So grab yourself a cup of coffee, pour yourself a glass of juice. Our conversation begins right after this.
At Plummer Funeral Home, it is our mission to provide the families of this area with caring, compassionate, and professional funeral services, and to assist them as they celebrate the life of the loved one they have lost. At Plummer Funeral Home, we provide families of all faiths and cultures with respect, compassion, and comfort as they mourn for their loved ones and come to terms with their loss. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott in with you on this Wednesday morning. Our guest this week, Montgomery County Board Chairman Roy Hurdle. Roy, welcome back, my friend. How are you today?
Fine, Tobin. How are you? I'm glad to be back. It's kind of sad and unusual that the chair that's sitting across from me is not got the guy with the little cap on, Uncle Ralphie, sitting in it. That's that makes this
a
little sad. Mm-hmm. Of course, Ralph and I go back a long, long way because his sister married my mother-in-law's brother. Mm-hmm. So my wife, kind of indirectly, was related to mm-hmm. Uncle Ralph by marriage only. But Ralph and I had a lot of fun together cooking pork chops and pork patties all over everywhere. And
that's where the impact's going to be felt this summer when the pork patties are supposed to be out.
Yeah, maybe we're going to get – I know who's got the cooker. And
am I looking at the guy that has the cooker?
No, I don't have the cooker. I was gone, and I didn't get there quick enough to get the cooker, but I know who's got it, and they're going to let us use it. So mm-hmm. we're probably going to use it. So that's good.
One thing I'll say about Uncle Ralph, and I really haven't talked about him much since he's passed, is it goes with the saying, you don't know what you've got till it's gone.
Gone.
He was always good about follow-up questions, and it made the half hour seem quicker than what it is. But absolutely, he's definitely missed by many.
Well, he knew a lot about something and a lot about nothing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the county. I guess a couple big news, and I've talked with Heather Hampton Nodal about this and Joe Gasperch about this. The County Improvement Fund, where the county has allocated 33% of the county's coal revenue towards a fund that can be used for upgrades and improvements. And I think this is a good step for the county.
Well, the when you take the coal revenue and kind of divide it by thirds, mm-hmm. that money and the Economic Development Committee has discussed this again. They're redefining this and fine-tuning it as to exactly how the money will be spent. Just because we have it doesn't mean we're going to spend it. But there are programs that we might want to look into. There is also needs that the county has. We have infrastructure needs that need to be kept up, and some of those are going to start. It's just like owning a used car. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you have to buy a battery for it. Well, it's the same thing with the county. We want to make sure our buildings and our vehicles and all the things we own are kept up. But we also are looking at, and I had a person question me the other day about putting in a lift station, a sewer lift station, one of the towns. Mm-hmm. And their sewer fund didn't have a whole lot of money in it. And would the county be willing to loan them money for their part of the grant? Well, that's an interesting concept. Of course, they'd pay it back. But they didn't want to deplete their fund because if something happened, then they'd have the money to fix a problem. So that's that'd be a consideration we would have. There are a lot of other, maybe some extensions of water and sewer lines for economic development. In certain locations in the county that might be helpful to try to attract business. And there's some other things that they're considering. So, yes, The other part of that is, though, the other third, and this is what they've been talking about,
mm-hmm.
and I'm only one of the 21 on the board,
mm-hmm.
is that keeps the doors open right now because we have to use that coal money.
Right.
We have to spend it, keep the lights on and the doors open and pay the salaries.
Right.
And then the other third is what we're going to save and not spend. We're not going to touch that. That's my theory. We got money that we can spend. We got money we have to spend, and we have money we're going to save. And that rainy day fund, and that's what I'll call it,
mm-hmm.
can grow. Our auditor would like to have us have about $6 million in that fund. Well, that'll take a while to do that, as long as the coal mine keeps operating.
How tempting would this be? I think this is a tremendous plan, though, but you and I were talking off air, and we'll touch on this later on here. The pension situation with the county that's going to be due. You've got several bills that if, let's say, this county improvement fund has, and you're expecting over $500,000 a year to go into this.
Well, if everything stayed constant,
right?
Let's just say $500,000.
How tempting would that be to use that money to help relieve some of the upcoming problems like the pensions and that, if it's there?
Well, that's another issue. I mean, you could actually put that pension obligation in the day-to-day operation part.
Okay.
The county has tried, and they've been doing this for several years, not to tax the people of this county any more than we had to.
Mm-hmm.
The county receives $800,000 a year in what I call corporate taxes,
mm-hmm.
that runs the county. Well, we have a $7 million budget, so that's about one-seventh of what we spend is actually paid for by the taxpayers to keep the doors open and pay the bills. Then we also tax for IMRF, Social Security, and liability. Those three funds, you can tax as much as you want to because those are obligations you have and have constant. The county hasn't done that. They haven't taxed at what they should because they've been borrowing mm-hmm. from the general fund and then paying it back to pay into those funds so that we did not have to raise taxes. Well, if there's no money in the pot,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the third, and third pots,
mm-hmm.
then the only place you can make that up is through taxes. We don't want to do that.
Right.
We may have to cross that bridge one of these days, but yes, we have some obligations in retirement that if they come due, we got to write a check.
Right.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
And, of course, this is the time when budget hearings won't start until
July.
July, but this is the time when Joe Gasparich and his group starts the process.
Yes, it's started right now. The letters go out to all the appointed elected officials that the budget hearings will be in July. And, yes, we've cut, and I didn't have any papers with me mm-hmm. this morning, but we have cut the budget down about $500,000, approximately, somewhere in that neighborhood. We still need to cut more. But when you start saying we need to cut, the biggest thing we spend money on is personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't want to cut personnel.
Right.
Now, somebody retires, somebody leaves our employment with the county, then we take a look at, can we not replace that person? Can we do without them? And if we can, then, I mean, it's not that we wouldn't like to keep that slot filled because the service is much better with more people,
right.
But can we do some other things and share some work to try to not replace that person? And we've done that mm-hmm. in a few instances, and we're going to have to do more of it.
Right. Let's talk a little bit. Last night, of course, was the election here in the county. We had a little over 21% turnout
in the
county. In your mind, was that a good turnout?
That's about normal. That is kind of sad. I mean, when you think of the number of people that could vote, about 17,000, and you only have 21% of them go vote. And a lot of that is due with the fact people don't want to declare what party they are. That's been a problem in this state for years and years. It's been debated. There have been bills introduced to make it an open primary. And there's a lot of advantages of open primaries. You get more people to go vote.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some disadvantages of open primaries. And you haven't got enough time to talk about all the advantages and disadvantages. But it would make it a lot better for turnout if it was an open primary. No doubt.
I was thinking with technology the way it is and security on the internet the way it is, and Sandy Lighthizer and I have talked about this, going online, giving a passcode system. You know this as well as I do. You can go on the comptroller's website, enter your information, and find out if your tax return gets back or has been deposited. You're telling me they can't come up with a system like that?
We're going to come up with all kinds of technology. When we do this new flyover in the county, when your taxes are going to be on there, and there's all kinds of information is going to be on the county's site to look at. I'm not a computer guru, so I have a little hesitation of allowing computers and the security of those computers. And I know, I guess it's okay. To allow people to vote. I like the idea you go in there and you take your little
absolutely.
And circle the little circles and, yeah, again, you shove it in a machine and it counts it, but that tabulator has been tested and tested and tested, but I'm not quite ready for computerized voting.
But
it might improve, but then again it may not.
Absolutely. And you know, but it's worth a shot.
And no doubt some states doing it. There's got to be somebody that's doing it.
Well, I mean, you bring up your example about something about going into the booth on election day and putting your mark on the oval. It's just like going to the bank with your own check and walking up to the teller and depositing your check. I mean, it's the same concept.
That's going to go away too. We know that.
Oh, absolutely.
We know that. Absolutely. That's going to be gone.
The election brought up some interesting things. Obviously, voters in Panhandle Morrisonville had their say on the consolidation. That didn't go as planned. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't, depending on what side of the aisle you did. Another thing that kind of failed in some cities, passed in others, electric aggregation. What's your electric aggregation? That's an interesting bird.
I can't explain that. I do know that there was an ad, big ad put, in, I think, in the Journal, against it. I have mixed feelings on that. People can make their own choices if they want to buy electricity right now from anybody. In fact, I do that as a little part-time job. That just astounded me. I thought those would all pass.
Some of them were closer than others. Right, I will say it this way, because I think Nokomis failed by 4 votes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was close.
Close.
And then, you know, I guess we talk about the county, and you mentioned the county, the school districts, they're still up in flux over everything that's going on.
Well, the one thing that's going to hurt the school districts, if it passes, is going to be the what I call the floating downhill from Chicago, the pensions, where the school districts are going to have to pay the pensions for their school teachers. Right now, the state's paying, I don't know how many million, a portion of that pension obligation that the school districts have. And so if they float that back down to the local taxpayer, we're talking several million dollars in Montgomery County that's going to have to be added, and it'll have to be added to the tax rolls, or you're going to have to cut somewhere to make up for that money. Well, you can't keep cutting personnel, so that means they're going to have to raise taxes or do something. But here's the bad thing about all this. And I think Senator Menard and some of them have been working very hard to try to fix the formula, the state aid formula. These school districts are owed so much money from the state. And then to compound it, to give them another bill that you're going to pay the full tilt on the pensions.
Take it off what you owe us.
I mean, reduce that down, you know, cut that back.
Yeah.
But, how we're going to be able to continue to do this. You know, and our tax base is not bad, but most people pay about $9 a hundred in taxes in Montgomery County. Now, that's pretty high.
And you mentioned education coming up next year, the ROE situation. We're going to be merged with Fayette, Effingham, and Christian counties, and that's going to be, I know you're going to be meeting with the county chairmen of the three other counties. That process is ongoing now, I guess.
Right. And that was a travesty in how that all happened, but that's past history.
Right.
We went to Chicago, and we got a little lesson in Chicago politics, trying to save this Montgomery Christian County ROE, but we couldn't save it. It didn't work. So we are merged, and Julie Willard is the regional superintendent down in Fayette, Bond, and Effingham.
Mm-hmm.
And Marshall Casabaugh is working very closely with her. Marshall did not run, mm-hmm. so Julie, I believe, is unopposed. So she's going to be the regional superintendent. I think they're trying to merge the programs so that not a whole lot of things are hurt. And you're right, they have set up, and I thanked her and Julie for doing that, setting up a meeting with the county chairman, because we're going to have to divide up how we pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it'll work just fine. I wish we could have kept it. We should have kept it, but that's not how it turned out. But I think it'll be okay.
And this is a big weekend for you guys. You've got the annual Lincoln dinner.
Yes.
This Saturday.
Now we'll separate county business. Now we'll go to political business.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a little bit.
Yes, it is. This is the Montgomery County Lincoln Day dinner, with, of course, held every year and has been for years in Litchfield. Wayne Rosenthal's the featured speaker, and we'll probably have 250, 275 people there, and it's always a good time, and glad to hear from Wayne. I think Rodney will be back and say hello. I think he's the featured speaker in Madison County, but going to come up and talk to us too. So we're looking forward to having both of them there.
You've been scheduling that dinner for a while. Talk with us a little bit, and we've got some time to kill here, about the process of figuring out who the main speaker would be, because you've had some dandies over the year.
Well, for a long time we didn't have any what I call elected state officials
mm-hmm.
that represented this county. And we didn't have any congressmen. But now we have a couple of Republicans that do represent this area.
I mean, we had two congressmen at one point,
depending on where you live. But, yeah. You know, and one was a Democrat, one was a Republican. But and that flip-flops sometimes. It depends on how they want to slice the pie around
mm-hmm,
here.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we've had Aaron Schock down mm-hmm. here has been the speaker. And we've had some other. Judy Bartopinka was here one year. Rutherford was here. Jim Edgar spoke. Thompson spoke. I mean, going back in the history. This is kind of Wayne's turn,
mm-hmm.
so he's the speaker. Rodney was the speaker last year. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a lot of work to put this together. Both political parties understand the work you have to put into to put a dinner like that together.
You just
both
like
have them.
You just and, like Melanus's prime rib.
Well, we love the prime rib. And
either that or that Texas cake.
Texas cake is good, but the prime rib is better.
Yes, it is.
And we do eat prime rib, and that's kind of unusual for a Lincoln Day dinner, because normally you get rubbery chicken and a slice of, well, I'm not kidding, it's rubbery chicken and a slice of, normally the beef is pretty good, but the chicken's rubbery. I'm kidding, but.
You better watch it. Jason may throw a curveball at you and get
chicken. Now, Jason Moss's chicken is excellent.
It is, actually.
I could eat a bucket full of that. But, he's the chef that prepares the meal, and we always have good prime rib from Jason. So.
And it's hard to believe that's this Saturday.
It's this Saturday. 5 o'clock is the social hour. 6 o'clock is dinner. And we try to get everybody out of there no later than 8 o'clock, 8:15. So we don't let people talk for long periods of time.
And then, of course,
they don't let me talk. So there you go.
And then, of course, one other thing you're involved with, the Lions Club in Hillsboro. Things are going well. I mean,
we need more members. That's one thing.
Well, we're getting close to fair and festival time, so you guys are going to be out and about spreading
the
message.
Lemonade shake-ups. We've been shaking lemonade since 1944.
Mm.
And we've never missed an Old Settler since 1944 with our lemon shake-up. So, yeah, that's – and, of course, we are going to miss Uncle Ralph with the cooker because we always used his cooker to cook our pork patties or pork chops that we sold up there at C&B parking lot. So
you'll be out and about, and the proceeds get used for – I know glasses – for children in need?
Yes, we buy eyeglasses for children in Litchfield and Hillsboro who can't afford them. We buy glasses for adults that can't afford them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have purchased hearing aids for people that cannot afford them. They're normally reconditioned hearing aids, but yes, we do that.
Anyone wanting to be a member of the Lions? How is that process?
Well, they can just stop by and we make them ride the donkey and then they're okay, you know. Tell a couple of lies and we're all right.
All right. Well,
but, yes. We'd be glad to have anybody who wants to join up. We'd love to have them.
All right. Roy, it's always a pleasure, my friend. It sounds like with the county, some good, some bad.
Yeah,
and
I will say this. We're lucky in this county. I don't know how much time you got left.
Minute and a half.
Well, we got it. I got enough to say this.
All right.
We're lucky to have some very good elected and appointed officials. We have good employees. I'm proud of them, especially this winter with the roads the way they were, the police. And
winter? We had a winter? Really?
Department.
What? We had a winter?
We
really?
We had a winter. the dispatchers and all the things they did. And just... the general employees of this county do a very good job, and I appreciate all the work they do.
Roy, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much for your time. And
thanks for asking me.
That's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest this week, Montgomery County Board Chairman Roy Hurdle. Coming up next week, Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce will be in studio. Until then, we'll talk to you next week. So long.